Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, we're talking cybersecurity and a special webinar that's coming up with Ira Victor of DiscoveryTechnician.com, Chris Moore, the attorney, and State Senator Heidi Ganser. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Retail's impact on Nevada's economy? Enormous. 8,600 businesses, large and small, employing 145,000 workers. And last fiscal year, retail paid tax on nearly $60 billion in sales. We're the Retail Association of Nevada. We support retail. We help it grow. And we mean business.
RANNV.org.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
Safety is the number one priority for the trucking industry. Over $7 billion a year is spent on technology, like this electronic eye, that will apply the brakes automatically. But the most important factor for safety is the truck driver. These hardworking men and women who safely move over 70% of our nation's freight and 94% of Nevada's. We thank you, because trucks move America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always pleased to welcome back to the program Ira Victor with DiscoveryTechnician.com. That email is going to be very relevant, and you're going to want to get a pen and a piece of paper to write down some information before the end of this program. There is a webinar coming up that is going to be on July 30th from 10 to 11:30 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Tell us what it is about, why people should be interested, because this is a pretty darn important thing.
It is. So cybercrime is running rampant. $3 trillion in losses in cybercrime. About
$3 trillion.
Now, that was 5 years ago. The new statistic, the updated statistic, is within a year we'll be at the $6 trillion level. So it's doubled. And that data
comes. And you're saying per year?
Per year in losses due to cybercrime. And the evidence that was gathered for that statistic predates COVID. And what I'm seeing out there in the field is that the cyber criminals are absolutely, and nation state actors are taking advantage of the chaos of the COVID pandemic to launch even more attacks.
Now, is this because everybody's now communicating, via Zoom and other programs that, like that? Is that, that part of it?
That's right. So what was better managed inside of a company or an organization, now the challenge is, how do you manage when all these people are spread out everywhere on all sorts of devices and all sorts of networks, but they still have the same confidential information? And so it exponentially grows what we call the threat surface. How many points of attack the bad guys can use now has grown exponentially due in part to the pandemic.
So now this webinar that's being hosted by State Senator Heidi Ganser, correct?
Yes.
This came about because of a law that was passed with your help in Nevada?
That's right. In the 2019 session, and the law comes into effect at the end of this year. And it does a number of things, but Nevada is now one of only two states in the country to put a standard, a protocol that's well-respected, the Center for Internet Security Standard, into statute in Nevada. So now, rather than just saying, we're going to have good cybersecurity, or we take cybersecurity very seriously, and there's nothing specific about that, we actually now have a standard that we can look to, and the Center for Internet Security Standard is very well respected, very well researched, and that standard, when it's implied, will stop at least 80% of the attacks that cause ransomware and other types of damage. And it is sized differently for different organizations, which is huge.
Okay, so just to make this clear for the people who are watching and listening, this is not just for state government or regional government. This is for private companies as well.
That's right. So you've got the standard is about the size of the organization. But yes, the seminar, the webinar that that CIS is helping put on with Senator Gansert, we're going to talk about how the public sector needs to embrace CIS and what they need to do. And then also after that, we're going to have two parts to it. The second part is going to be for private sector, because since we now have something in statute, in Nevada statute, that says this is what reasonable security actually is, following that protocol will help your business or nonprofit organization stay secure and limit your legal liability.
All right, so now who should be watching or listening to this webinar? Is it, you know, the average business owner? Is it the office manager? Or does this need to be somebody in IT or cybersecurity?
No, it's geared towards non, you know, the second part, the private sector part, is very much geared towards non-IT. Actually, we don't have an information security expert on the panel. We've got someone from CIS, but the rest of the panelists are right here in the second segment, are right here from Nevada. They are businesses and organizations in Nevada talking about how cybersecurity and what needs to be done to help protect their data. And you know, anybody can learn from this. It will help you in your personal life keep your bank information safe, but particularly organizations, because they are the biggest target. Small, medium-sized organizations are the biggest target of cyber criminals right now.
All right, and if people want information, we're going to put this up at the end of the show as well, but discoverytechnician.com is a place where they can find out more information.
Correct? That's right. Go to our website, send an email to us. I'll send you all the details of how you sign up. It's completely free.
All right, so stick around, and we'll bring in State Senator Heidi Gansert right after this timeout.
Because of UMC, I'm putting my free time to good use.
Because of UMC, she keeps me on my toes.
Because of UMC and this guy, I'm here.
UMC, the highest level of care in Nevada.
Hi, I'm Eric Robnett, owner of Home Energy Experts. Has this ever happened to you?
Honey, did you remember to turn down the thermostat?
Forgetting to set the temperature? Not fun. We can help. Our new smart thermostat keeps the temperature set for your comfort all by itself.
I'm feeling hot now.
To increase your comfort, go to homeenergyexperts.com for details. That's homeenergyexperts.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Kenny, Dad? What are you learning? This place is great.
Huh?
You gotta try this.
Wow, this stuff is great. People are gonna love it.
Yes. Yes, they were.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're pleased to be joined by State Senator Heidi Gansert, along with Ira Victor, who was with us in the previous segment from discoverytechnician.com. Pleasure to have you back on the program. And we look forward, we're also going to do another show with you to talk about what happened at the surreal session, as it is now becoming known. but right now, we're talking about the Center for Internet Security webinar panel, How Nevada Can Spotlight Its Leadership in Data Security, coming up on July 30th. How did you get involved, and what was the bill that you passed?
So we brought a bill, SB 332, and actually Ira contacted me, and he helped me recognize that the state essentially collects massive data every month. Whenever the employment security information is passed from employers to the Department of Employment Training and Rehabilitation, your name, your social security number, your address, all this information is passed to the state and it's held. It's also passed when you look at like wildlife licenses and things like that. So we wanted to make sure that we were keeping it safe. So Ira presented some ideas to me about protocols that could be used by the state to make that data safer. And of course, we want to make sure that we minimize the chance of a breach when we're holding so much information as a state.
Will you just more the concern when you realized how vulnerable the state was?
Well, I have to tell you, when Ira brought it to me, I didn't realize how vulnerable we were until I started talking to some of the folks at the state. So I think our IT department does a nice job, but we spent some time with the legislative auditor, and what we realized is that if there was an opportunity for a breach, that information, there really wasn't any process to be able to take care of that and notify the right people within the state so that there was internal awareness and also protection of that data. So part of what we ended up doing in the bill is setting up a process so that when we identify a weakness, certain entities are notified. So it was really, it was surprising because essentially the legislative auditor was holding all this information until he could figure out how to fix it. And then telling very few people, maybe someone who was on the legislative commission or the audit, I guess it would be the audit committee, but the information wasn't going anywhere else. So we had an issue with process within the state if there was a weakness. So not only did we adopt some protocols that make a lot of sense for the state, but we also created a process so that we could maintain the security internally, but also notify the parties who needed to know.
Ira, how daunting was it? Because you're so knowledgeable, you've been on the show for years talking about cybersecurity, and yet it's such a complex subject for the average person to understand, and our legislature is made up of average people who are not full-time legislators. They all have jobs in various fields. And in so many cases, you know, you and I have talked about cybersecurity regarding bank accounts, for example. And I talk to people, no, it's safe, it's fine. And then I go, maybe you should watch this program with Ira, and you may be a little bit more concerned. So how daunting was it for you to try and explain, not only to Senator Gansert, but also to staff, of how vulnerable they were?
Well, I think there's been a sea change. I mean, over the years, the cybercrime has gotten worse and worse. And people now, most people recognize that it's a serious problem. The challenge is, what do we do to fix the problem? Everybody, it's like a belly button. Everybody seems to go around saying they've got, you know, an answer to it, but yet the cybercrime continues to grow. So clearly that, you know, someone's individual answer isn't the answer. And that's why I like this standard, the Center for Internet Security standard, because it's very well researched that it works. It stops over 80% of the known attacks that cause cybercrime. And it is because it is right-sized, you can have different versions of the standard depending on the organization, it's more effective. A lot of the other standards that I'm familiar with, again, they try to be one-size-fits-all, and that just doesn't work. So I know from my experience working in the field that this standard actually works. And so that was a big part of getting over the hump of people's resistance was, hey, we've got something that actually does work. And after some meetings with people that through the senator's office, with some people that had questions for me, technical questions, every single meeting I had after I explained to them why this standard makes sense, we got them on board with it, including the auditors.
Were you because you're not just a legislator, you've also been chief of staff to mm-hmm. Governor Sandoval. Were you shocked to realize how vulnerable the state was to all kinds of, not only cybercrime, but you know, ransomware as well, that could put the state in a terrible situation?
So I think our IT folks are working really hard, and we do have vulnerabilities, but what I appreciated was how open they were to adopting these standards. It really became more of a conversation and figuring out how best we could do it versus no, we don't want to do it. There was concern about cost, and you know, if we adopted the standards, so we had to craft the language carefully to make sure that there wasn't a lot of upfront costs, because you know, once you get a fiscal note, a lot of things just die. But they were very receptive, and to be honest with you, as Ira mentioned, the auditors in particular, they wanted to know more about how they could prevent cybercrime, and then the process of what they do when they realize that we have a potential area where we could be breached. So I was really pleased on how they responded and the work that they were doing.
One of the things that you and I have talked about several times on the program has been that the front door is secure. It's the back door that's wide open. Were this legislative staff receptive to this idea, or were they already aware of it at this point?
They were aware of it, but really wanted to know, is there a realistic way to improve the security? And that was really the big concern. And to the audit point, one of the important elements in this protocol, the Center for Internet Security standard, is the importance of auditing and reporting and preventative measures. So it fit, we didn't plan it this way, but it fit like a glove with what the concerns were in Carson City. And fortunately, because this standard is mature and well-tested, we were able to very easily explain it and get support.
One of the things that we've talked about is cities, counties being attacked with ransomware and held up in hospitals, and I mean just innumerable businesses in that way. Have any states been held up in that manner that you're aware of?
I'd have to look. It has been a lot of counties and municipalities. But here's the thing to know. When you read in the paper about a cyber attack, I can absolutely assure you, you are only reading the very tip of the iceberg. It's much worse, and there are many more attacks that never make the headlines. That's part of what I do, is what we call incident response. And so I've worked on large-scale attacks that never made it into the news. So I would not be surprised if there were states that were attacked, but it never made the headlines. And it is a really big and expensive problem when it happens.
Yeah, because I mean, I look at this from a state perspective, and if this, I think it was the city of Atlanta, was held up for like $10 million, what could a state be held up for? And, especially at this point in time, we don't have the money for anything like that.
No, and something Ira mentioned, he talked about preventing these breaches, and I think that's part of why our IT folks embraced it, and the auditors, because they realized if we use these protocols, we were much less likely to have a breach. And that's what's important, is you have to take the protocol seriously and take action ahead of time so that we aren't held hostage.
Do you divide at this point in time the difference between IT and cybersecurity? Are they two different things in your mind, or are you co-joining them?
I'm co-joining them, I guess, and I could be wrong, but I'm thinking just the way that we operate. We have to have protections, but also we electronically keep so much data, so much personal identifying information, and so I am kind of using it all together. But I mean, you're right. Cybersecurity is a portion of what we need to do to keep that information safe.
Yeah, we call it risk management.
Yeah.
Information governance, not as opposed to information technology, and risk management and reducing risk, so that we don't have exposures to $10 million ransoms because we can't get unemployment checks out because our systems are being held ransom, for example, hypothetically speaking. And that's about risk management and information governance rather than information technology, which is about operations.
All right, let's take a break. Senator, thank you very much, and thank you for hosting this webinar. It's coming up on July 30th. We'll put up all the information at the end of the program. We appreciate you being here, and we'll be back and look at the legal aspects of this after this timeout.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. Come visit Design Outdoor's store and backyard to see our wide selection of fire pits, barbecues, and pizza ovens, natural stone water features, and fountains, and frostproof pottery. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
One of the most psychologically damaging things parents can do to children in divorce is disparage one another, which is why I can't believe I even have to make this commercial. Half of your kids' genetics come from this person you're spewing hate about. Your children have the right to love you both, but more than that, they deserve to love themselves.
Marilyn York might be a men's rights divorce attorney, but this is for every selfish parent. Shut up!
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. And a lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation on the webinar that's coming up, how Nevada can spotlight its leadership in data security, coming up on July 30th. And Ira Victor is still here with DiscoveryTechnician.com, and we're joined by Chris Moore, an attorney with Lemons, Grundy and Eisenberg. Pleasure to have you on the program, sir.
Thank you. Pleased to be here.
So let's start out with, you know, simple question. What's the legal aspect of all this that people should be aware of?
That there's actually some hope on the horizon in an arena where many business owners are really concerned about cybersecurity. And as Ira has pointed out, it's leading to real economic losses. Well, those economic losses are not only direct financial hits to businesses, there's litigation risk for, I think, reasons many people can understand. And the problem is that...
You know what? Spell it out. What are the litigation risks? Well, give us a couple of examples, briefly.
Absolutely. As a hypothetical, let's say and there's a law firm that has sensitive client information, and that information is hacked and obtained, and it harms their clients. Now, we as attorneys have an ethical obligation to keep confidences, and that ethical obligation under our Nevada Rules of Professional Conduct say we have to take reasonable measures. What are the reasonable measures? Look at another business. Let's say you have a business which has its employee information that is taken advantage of by a hacker, and that business has very ambiguous standards. If you're in front of a trier of fact or a jury, if you don't have standards, that means the trier of fact or jury gets to determine what the standards are. And Sam, no one wants to have an idea of a runaway jury or runaway verdict, but that's what can happen in the event that you have a trier of fact who has no standards that they can refer to. And that's one reason why having standards is very important.
Okay, so does the Center for Internet Security standard cover a business in regard to this?
It gives some hope if the legislation that Senator Gansert has spoken about is something that can be implemented, because then it can create what in the law we call a safe harbor. A safe harbor refers to a standard that if it's met, one can presume that the business has acted reasonably in cybersecurity.
Okay, and what's been your experience with this, Ira?
So my experience, first off, is this standard really works. I mean, there's lots of research, scientific research, that it does, but I know anecdotally that every single data breach that I have worked on, and I've worked on many, if this standard had been implemented prior to the breach would have been stopped. And every single big public data breach that you read about in the paper, and I read the technical versions of the story, and I analyze them, if the standard, the Center for Internet Security Protocol, had been adopted by that organization prior to the breach, it would have been stopped. So this is not hypothetical that it works. It really does work. And it makes a big difference. And to amplify what Mr. Moore said is, I've been an expert on cases in which one business was victimized by the cyber criminals, and they sued other businesses that they do business with, saying that the cyber criminals also attacked the other business, which caused their damages. So even though those other businesses didn't suffer directly the data breach, they still had to go through an expensive and long litigation process because someone they do business with suffered the data breach.
It sounds like the financial risk here is just unbelievable.
Absolutely, it is. And the problem is that even though the risk is being recognized, what to do about the risk is very confusing. And unfortunately, the law is not always as up-to-date as technology. But there is an idea that if you can get standards in place, you have more certainty for businesses. And in the litigation context, it can not only give parties properly the incentive to do the right thing to begin with, but they can also know that if they're doing the right thing, they have some protection.
All right, let's lay out exactly when the webinar is and how people can hook into this thing. And it's free, correct?
It's free. The Center for Internet Security, who makes the standard, is hosting the webinar. It's on Thursday, July 30th at 10 a.m. I'm sorry.
It's from 10 to 11:30.
Thank you very much, Sam. 10 to 11:30 a.m.
Pacific Standard Time.
Pacific Time, that's right. All you need to do is sign up in advance, and you can participate in the webinar. The first part of it is going to be public sector oriented, about the first 30 minutes or so. And then the last part of it is going to be private sector. You can join in both, or just listen in and do something else while you're waiting for the part that you want to go in and see and participate in. And it will be dynamic. You'll be asked questions. We'll have experts there. So it's going to be like a lecture type of environment where you can participate.
And the place to go to get more information and sign up is discoverytechnician.com.
That's right.
Which is your office, and they can do it right there.
They can do it right there. Send us an email, and we'll send you all the information about how you sign up and participate if you want to.
Thank you so much for doing this. Really appreciate it. Nice to meet you, Chris, and good luck with this webinar. It sounds incredibly informative and potentially could save you millions of dollars. And we'll be right back.
A bird's eye captures its surroundings at different heights. At Brian Culpa Photography, we can make your imagination soar over buildings, parks, cityscapes, and beyond. Brian's images tell the story and get the job done. If you need a new perspective to tell your story, contact Brian today. Brian Culpa Photography. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Kenny, Dad? Are you learning? This place is great.
Huh?
You gotta try this. Wow, this stuff is great. People are gonna love it.
Yes. Yes, they were.
As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's development company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
You can now watch Nevada Newsmakers on YouTube. Just go to YouTube and search for Nevada Newsmakers and become a subscriber. We'll see you on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching and listening.